call the meeting of.
Start zooming now.
I'm gonna call the meeting of Town Discovery Bay to order. Please join Director Bigger.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
You're gonna have to hold on a second, the meeting is not up online yet.
Yeah. There, I'm not presenting anything, Rod.
You're not gonna present, Rod.
No, but the additional callers that are online are, there they go.
Okay, well, we're gonna finish the pledge of allegiance and get back to you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken by the record report. All members are present.
Okay, at this point of the meeting, it's open to public comments. We have no public inside the building. Is there any public on the teleconference that would like to bring something to our table?
Excuse me, presenters. Are you ready to begin now? Are you ready to be transferred into the main conference now?
Yes, we are.
Yes, sorry, one moment.
Lena.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Town Discovery Bay CSB meeting conference call. At this time, all participants line are in a listening mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a comment session. To say a comment during the session, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star 0. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Bill Peace. You may now begin.
Okay, we've opened the meeting and we've had a pledge of allegiance. We've had a roll call and all directors are here. We did ask for public comment, but I'll go ahead and re-ask again at this time if there's anyone on the teleconference from the public that would like to speak to us. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to move to the next item, which is the consent calendar. Do any of the board members want to remove anything from the consent calendar?
Move for accept.
Second.
Is there any public comment on the consent calendar? All those in favor?
Aye.
5 ayes, unanimous. We are now going to go to agency's report. Supervisor Burgess' office, please.
Hello, this is Leah Campbellberry from Supervisor Diane Burgess' office. Good evening, board members and members of the public. I hope you're all doing well and staying safe and healthy as we enter our third week of sheltering in place. Just a quick update on COVID-19. Health officers in 7 Bay Area jurisdictions are extending a previous stay-at-home order through May 3rd, 2020, in order to preserve critical hospital capacity across the region. While the prior order has been effective in reducing the rate of transmission of COVID-19, it's not enough. The health officers have determined that more and stricter social distancing is needed to slow the rate of spread, prevent deaths, and stop the healthcare system from becoming overwhelmed. Like the previous local order, the new order requires people to stay at home except for doing essential activities such as grocery shopping. The non-essential businesses will remain closed. The new order adds some clarifying language around essential business and activities, as well as some new directives, including the use of playgrounds, dog parks, public picnic areas, and similar recreational areas is prohibited. These areas must be closed to the public. Use of shared public recreational facilities such as golf courses, tennis and basketball courts, pools, and rock walls is prohibited. These facilities must be closed for recreational use. Sports requiring people to share a ball or other equipment must be limited to people in the same household. Required essential businesses to develop distance protocol before April 3rd. Most construction, residential and commercial, is prohibited. And just a side note, we've received a lot of calls about this, and we are getting further clarification for our website. Funerals limited to no more than 10 people. Essential businesses expanded to include service providers that enable residential transactions like notaries, title companies, realtors, etc. Funeral homes and cemeteries, moving companies, rental car companies, and rideshare services that specifically enable essential activities. Essential businesses that continue to operate facilities must scale down operations to their essential component only. Social distancing is the most powerful tool to slow the spread of COVID-19, a virus so new that it has no approved medicines or vaccines at this time. We need more time to flatten the curve, to prepare our hospitals for a surge, and to do everything we can to minimize the harm the virus can cause to our communities. The County Health Department continues to update the FAQs daily on their homepage. We also have the coronavirus call center that is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And you can always contact 211 for social and health services. So that's all I have to give on the COVID-19 update. And then just real quickly on the census, in light of the COVID-19 outbreak, the U.S. Census Bureau has halted field operations until at least April 15th and adjusted key 2020 census dates in order to protect the health and safety of Census Bureau employees and the American public. Implement guidance from federal, state, and local health authorities and ensure a complete and accurate count of all communities. Most importantly, the census response time has been extended through August 14th, 2020, with non-response follow-up now starting on May 28th, 2020. All residents can complete the survey by going to mycensus2020.gov and entering their census ID. Once the U.S. Census Bureau resumes field operations, a census worker will visit locations that have not been responded to. On a good note, so far, 41.9% of our county has self-responded to the census, and California as a whole is at 35.7%. This is a great start, but there are many more to count. So finally, our office will remain open virtually. We can still be reached by phone or email. You are not alone, and we are here to help. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, that update. Do we have a representative from the Sheriff's Department online?
Excuse me, yes. This is Andy. Can you hear me?
Andy, I got this. I hate to do this, Chair, but we are watching both online and by phone. And it appears that we have at least several individuals that are on the line that are not getting any audio. And so I don't know whether the moderator is still on, but we have at least five individuals that are on the line that are not getting any audio. We can talk to each other, but I can't talk to them. So during these difficult times, I appreciate everybody's patience as we work through the technology. Is there a moderator on there through this website that can assist?
Julian, are you there? This is Julie.
Yes, I'm here.
Are there folks on the line that are not in our conference?
Actually, all of the participants online should be able to, or in this conference, should be able to hear our audio. We currently have five participants in the conference.
Okay, thank you, Julian. Rod, we have online is only for content sharing, it's not for audio. If anybody wants to be on the audio, they need to call into the lines.
And Mr. Helfrich and one other just hung up, and Mr. Helfrich indicated that he was going to try calling in. The other individual didn't indicate so. Mr. Helfrich is trying to call in, I think, right now to be connected, but he can't hear the audio.
Yeah, the audio is on the call in, but for content only, they get onto the link. That was the same as we did last time.
I completely agree. Just responding to, because Mr. Helfrich sent me a message and I can hear him, and Andy and I can hear him both. He had no audio and he didn't understand that, I don't think that there was two separate formats for this. So, I apologize. This is the fun of these times. It just says to view presentation contact, and he's, I think, trying to call in now.
Okay.
I apologize.
All right, we'll give him a few seconds. Hopefully he should be online.
What is Rod seeing that we're not seeing? How does he see people coming and going?
So, I have up, Member Graves, is I have up the internet, or the intercall.com link, which gives me the presentation. As you're scrolling through it, I can see what you're scrolling through. In order to be able to hear by audio, you had to dial a different number. We registered our numbers so our numbers could be open and the public could be shut off. I can hear Mr. Helfrich in the background of the audio call on my screen, and he's working with the moderator now to try to get in.
Thank you.
Mr. Helfrich, are you on the call now?
His line is probably muted.
Excellent, thank you. Mr. Pease, can you make a statement of some sort and see if Mr. Helfrich can hear it?
Certainly, we're in agency reports, and we were just going after the sheriff's office report. Can everyone
hear? Mr. Helfrich, were you able to hear that? Excellent. Mr. Helfrich is on the phone. We should be all good. I'll let you proceed with the meeting. I'll just notice for Mr. Helfrich, the only thing, the item that we had is we didn't do roll call. We did the pledge. All directors are present, and we received a report from the county supervisor's office on the current status. The only items that have been discussed at this point in time.
And well, once again,
they did. I'm sorry. I apologize. They did do the consent calendar.
At this particular point, I'm not sure if the sheriff's department is online or not, but I will ask if there's a sheriff's department report.
Yes, Mark Johnson, Lieutenant Delta Station.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Yes, are we okay?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I have nothing major to report, no major crime trends, maybe a few more domestic calls, which is expected when families are together for extended periods of time, so we'll start to see that a little bit.
That's not funny.
So in general, we are not being as proactive as we were the last few months for obvious reasons. We're staying visible, so the public sees us out there. We're trying to handle as many calls as we can by telephone rather than in person. We are making stops and whatnot when it's a safety issue or some type of in-progress call. Otherwise, we're trying to stay engaged as much as we can for people and not exposing or getting exposed from the virus. One of the things that came up that was, I noticed on next door and whatnot, was the burglary at the Skibbery Bay, the steakhouse there. And the owner gave us two leads on who we thought might be involved. So far, we've looked into those two leads, working with our detectives, and we can't find any evidence that those people were involved. So right now, we don't have any other further leads to go on, although they still are working the case. We're kind of at a standstill at this point. Other than that, things are actually going okay. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Looking at all the directors, and everybody's just smiling and thinking that you guys are doing a fantastic job out there, so keep up the good work. Thank you for your report.
Good work, man. We're trying.
Okay. All right, with that, I'm going to go to...
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I hate to do this again, but member, public member, help Southwick did have a comment on the consent calendar. Obviously, he couldn't hear the audio, so he was attempting to make a comment on the consent calendar before the consent calendar was taken. Due to the technology constraints, I suggest that you ask for his comment on the consent calendar.
Okay, Mr. Helfrich, you have 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Excuse me, Mr. Helfrich, can you please press star one so that your line can be opened?
Go ahead, Mr. Helfrich.
More about Mr. Helfrich, you need to push star one to be able to be heard.
Okay. Everyone has been pushed.
And we hear you.
What is Big Parsons Group Incorporated payment of $40,628.32
for? That's not a comment.
That's a question. Manager Davies could answer that question in the morning there. They do work for us. Do you have any other comments?
No, I will call Mr. Davies in the morning then. Thank you.
Okay. With that, we're going to move to the CHP report, if anyone is on the line from CHP.
The CHP will help you make a report.
Okay. That, and we'll go to East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. Is there a representative on the teleconference?
Good evening, Board. This is Good Time Chief McCumber. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Beautiful. All right. I'll start with an operations report, and then I will briefly give the Board an overview on what we've been doing as a district with this recent pandemic. So for the month of March, there were 65 calls in the Discovery Bay with an average response time of 1043. Happy to report no major incidents in the Discovery Bay in March. Overall, the district ran 614 calls for service and a response time of 819. That included responding to 7 residential structure fires, 1 commercial structure fire, 2 vehicle fires, 2 vegetation fires, and 13 exterior fires. Just to let everybody know, the vegetation and exterior fires, mostly for the month, were pulled in burn piles, so they weren't anything serious. District also responded to the 17 vehicle accidents with an additional 5 requiring rescue. 3 vehicle versus pedestrian accidents, 1 motorcycle accident, and 2 bicycle accidents. So the month of March, as we hit the halfway point when the state offered the order of the shelter in place, I should say, between now and that point, we have noticed a slight drop in call volume across the board. That is not unique to our fire district at this point. Most fire districts around the county are experiencing a call volume slowdown. We believe that to be due to the shelter in place, people are just staying home, which is a good thing. However, as a fire district and as a county, we are preparing for a potential surge in COVID-19 patients coming up. With that, our fire district right now is working on what we're calling a continuous operations plan. This plan will be devised in case the worst happens to our district, where we get multiple members sick, how we're going to operate, what calls we're going to respond to, etc. We hope to have that plan in place at some point early next week. We are working diligently with all our surrounding agencies to all develop continuing operations plans should other fire agencies in this county also be affected. As a district, we've stopped all non-essential gathering for our members, and that includes public outreach events at this time. All public outreach events in district and things that we have been asked to attend have been canceled until further notice. We are also monitoring the situation every day, multiple times a day. Each of the administrative members, myself, our EMS chief, our training chief, we're assigned to different things to monitor during the day-to-day operations. So we're all on things like multi-agency cooperation calls, daily EMS calls for all the EMS chiefs across the county. So we are on top of this as these events unfold. Another thing, and I'm sure you've seen a couple of videos we've put out, all of our members are wearing the proper PPEs to every EMS incident we're being dispatched to. So they do look a little different than normal, but we are wearing our gowns and masks and goggles just to make sure that we are not getting any of our members exposed. And as of so far, I am happy to report report. We have had no members go off or miss work for any COVID-19 exposure. We're also helping staff the county EOC and the fire branch, so we have members in there 1 to 2 times a week assisting over there, as that has been stood up from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. Right now, one other thing we're looking at doing is hiring a company to come in and decontaminate the stations on an every other week basis during this pandemic, just to really provide an extra layer of safety for our firefighters in this time. Other than that, that is my operational reports for this evening, and I'm available for questions.
All right.
Chief Montgomery, I'm linked in with Pulse Point. I've noticed that I'm not getting notified of any real car accidents, so I guess there is a plus side to this.
That's true. That is another thing with the call line slowdown is, it's not even our district, it's all the districts in the county seem to be a real lack of vehicle accidents. However, a couple of the ones that have happened between our district, Confire, Margarita, and San Ramon, they seem to be more serious because of the open roads. People are speeding now, so people really need to slow down out there. There's no rush right now.
Good point.
Yes, yes, yes.
Any other questions for the chief? Seeing none here, thank you very much for your report, and we'll talk to you next month. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. Be safe out there.
Okay, thank you. At this point, we're going to go to business action item G1. Staff, please.
Yes, board. If you recall, at the board meeting of March 18, 2020, you were presented with a draft water and wastewater rate study, which presented three options for your consideration. The option scenarios varied based on how much future debt would impact the monthly costs to ratepayers over the next 5 fiscal years. Allison, the Lekowitz and Same Municipal Consultants, is on the phone again tonight to present the options for your selection. Please note that the details of this presentation have been revised from what was presented on March 18th. The revisions include an adjustment for recent volatility in the bond market due to the pandemic and some CIP projects inadvertently left out that have now been included. This includes relocation of the district's office building, district security, some vehicle and equipment purchases. Staff has also received related email correspondence from a member of the public, which is now before each of you for your consideration prior to taking board action on this item. These emails will be added to the packet as additional correspondence materials. At the end of Allison's presentation, staff is asking the board to choose a rate study option so that the selected proposed rate changes can be approved at the April 15th board meeting and the Prop 218 process started at that time. Allison? Allison, are you there?
Need to unmute?
She should be on the leader line.
Yeah.
Allison, can you hit star 1 if you called in on the leader line?
All right, and we do have the line of Allison and Don Thomas. One moment. I'll open Allison's line first. Allison, please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
He's on my desk.
Okay, perfect.
Must be so
I'll just talk through the slides. I'm not entirely sure if they do the web portion of screen sharing, so bear with me through that. So I have a very brief summary presentation. It's extremely similar to the presentation I gave about 2 weeks ago, but with updated numbers. Like Mike mentioned, a few million of additional capital projects were identified, as well as some adjustments were made to debt service costs from up-to-date information provided by Brandon Tallman. So, very brief background, water and sewer rates are subject to Proposition 218. They must be based on the reasonable cost of service. We developed that looking at district budgets and capital costs. We also look at how those costs are fairly recovered from customers based on water use and sewer flow. We're looking at a 5-year period of rate increases So the board could approve and adopt a five-year plan all at once. And at the end of the presentation, I'll talk about procedural requirements. The public will have multiple opportunities to comment on the rates at a public hearing. And then the water and sewer utilities are enterprise funds, which means they need to be self-supported by the rates and charges. So moving to slide three, our goals are to meet that cost of service to fully cover costs, including operations, debt obligations, both existing debt as well as potential future debt, keep infrastructure in good condition, make sure we have enough reserves for emergencies, and then also water conservation. There are some new regulations related to indoor water conservation, outdoor water conservation, and so water use has a big impact on overall revenues for the water utility, so we make sure to keep that in mind as well. And our rate plan has new rates going into effect each year on July 1st. So for slide four, both the water and the sewer fund are in strong financial positions. We have strong reserves of about $11 million. We do have some outstanding bonds that are being paid off, and both utilities have the capacity to take on new debt and partially or fully cash fund projects. So Discovery Bay is historically use a combination of both cash funding projects as well as debt, and that's kind of the central question of the rate study and the option we're talking about tonight is what amount of debt should be issued versus what amount of projects should be funded via rates and cash. So moving along to slide number five, we're looking at about $14 million of projects. That's including this fiscal year plus the next five fiscal years. And the previous draft had about $12 million. So we identified about $2 million additional cost. So the main ones are water pipelines and water supply capacity. So next slide is slide six. We're looking at a range of options from no debt, $4 million of debt, and then $8 million of debt financing. So we have $14 million of projects and then zero to potentially $8 million being financed, the rest being funded through a little bit of capacity fees, some use of reserve, and then potential future rate increases. But under all the options, we are very careful to make sure that the town always has an emergency reserve, as well as we are always meeting our debt coverage ratio. That's a legal requirement. So we want to make sure the water utility stays in good financial health. And then we revised the debt service cost as estimated by Brandis Tallman. So moving along to slide seven, we did three options for the water fund. No debt, $4 million of debt, and $8 million of debt. The no debt option, we're funding $14 million of projects with cash, with rates. So there's very steep increases in year one and two, 32%, 32%, followed by 1.11%. The $4 million debt option was a series of 7% increases. And the $8 million debt option was 1.75% increases each year for the 5 years. And I just want to make the caveat that these are system-wide average percent increases. Not every customer will get exactly that percent. It depends on what meter size you have, how much water you use. So not every single bill is going to look exactly like the percentages shown here. So moving on to table to slide number eight. Let's see. So the rates reflect the financing options. We also reflected water conservation and really, water conservation will be a bigger issue in year 2025 through 2030. So that's really kind of beyond the scope of our rate study, kind of beyond our five-year plan. But we wanted to start reflecting that overall conservation trend. And then I did a series of typical bills assuming the average residential customer, which is a customer using a 1-inch meter and 1,300 cubic feet per month. We do expect that 1,300 on average to decline to about 12 over the 5 years, but for purposes of comparison, each year shown here, the typical bill is that 13 CCF per month. And again, the percentage, if you got your calculator out and did the percent change each year over these typical bills and compared it to my previous chart, you would say, oh, those percentages don't match exactly. And again, that's that cost allocation piece, the rate design piece, where not every customer will get exactly the percent change, but it's pretty close. So then, moving on to chart number 9, that is a typical bill comparison showing the options of Discovery Bay's typical bill under each option, comparing with the typical bill of other local agencies. Discovery Bay's water bill has always been historically low compared to other agencies, and pretty much each option except option 1 would keep Discovery Bay's typical bill fairly low in comparison. And then it should be noted, though, that the only other agencies with very unusually low bills, if you notice the dates that they were last updated, so looking at Manteca was 2011, and Rivista was 2013, so that indicates some agencies probably are below the cost of service because they haven't updated their rates in quite some time. So we'll move along to table 10. So for wastewater, we've identified about $19.6 million of projects. The prior draft from 2 weeks ago had assumed about $17 million. So that's $2.6 million or so additional projects identified for this draft. And really, the big projects are nitrification and rehabilitation of Plant 1. So the two of those projects just by themselves are about $10 million. Moving on to chart 11. For wastewater, we've come up with 4 different options. No debt, $5 million of debt, $7.5 million of debt, and $10 million. All the options are using some amount of available reserves, $3.5 million. So that's above your fund target. So that's revenue that it can use for the benefit of the ratepayers. All the options maintain a healthy emergency reserve. Make sure that we adhere to them.
Cutting out.
And it won't.
Okay, Allison, if you're on the line, we can't hear you, Allison.
I think it's her phone. Allison?
Hey, Allison?
Yeah.
Can you hear us? We cannot hear you. We still cannot hear you. Can you hear us, Allison?
Is Robin?
Stay still.
Rod, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
I can
hear you. I've got the computer screen up. Allison's still on there, but Allison is on web only. so she called in. So Allison, if you're there.
Excuse me, presenters. Allison's line is active with us. The problem is with your line. Allison, if you can hear me, I will try to release your line again, and then please press star one. Acknowledge if you're able to hear that.
Allison is chiming in on the computer. There is an ability to send messages, and Allison, we cannot hear you. I will respond to her, but...
Okay, I'm going to hear you.
If you can hear me, we cannot hear you.
Try again, Allison.
Oh. If she's got a
cell phone. I'll remind her on the computer, and if Allison... I'll actually turn off my computer here a second. If Allison can hear me, I'll remind you that it's star one to access.
And if she was not on a cell phone, maybe if she has a cell phone, she can try to connect that way.
She says she's going to log up off and call in.
Yeah, but no.
She has indicated that she is going to call back in right now. I got dropped as well earlier. You didn't know it, but I did get dropped as well earlier. Are we having fun yet with the new difficulties of our way of life here?
We'll make it work.
Yeah, we'll just see.
It'll work. We're following all the guidelines as best as possible in terms of doing the best we can to make the public accessible. So I'm speaking now both to the computer as well as this phone, so hopefully people are hearing it and being patient and understanding.
Has Allison got back online yet? Or on the phone?
It appears she's working on it. The difficulty is the line appears to be really busy. When I got disconnected and tried to call back in, it did take me a minute. They were waiting for an operator to take the number, and then they asked me a bunch of questions, and so it did take me a minute to get back in.
All right, so we do have Allison's line now. One moment. Hello, Allison, you may please go ahead.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Hey.
Yes, you can. Sounds like a...
Yeah, I don't know about one there, but we'll continue on. Okay, I think we were on slide 11, talking about wastewater project funding.
Yes.
So all projects, all financing scenarios use $3.5 million of available reserves, but also maintain a minimum of $1.8 million in emergency reserves and 4 months of operating costs. So flipping forward to chart 12, that shows the annual rate increase as well as the cumulative rate increase for four options, no debt, $5 million, $7.5 million, $10 million of debt each year for the 5 years. So in particular, option one has increased quite a bit due to the addition of the $2.6 million from the increase from the prior draft of capital improvements. So now it's 18%, 18%, 7, and then 2. Option 2 of $5 million debt equals a rate increase of 5%, 5%, 5%, 1%, 1%. The option 3, 7.5 million, 1.8% each year for 5 years. And option 4 is 1.5% each year for 5 years. And so option 3 and 4 actually are the same as the prior draft from March 18th. And the reason for that is although we increased the amount for projects we're funding, because those two options have very high debt, we got a little bit of benefit from Brandon Tallman of reducing the debt cost as compared to the prior draft.
that helped a little bit lowering cost on that front. And then both of those options, because we're debt financing so much, we are holding more in reserve. And so that additional capital cost was absorbed by reserve. So flipping ahead to chart 13, we also made some rate design adjustments. The rates have to be based on the reasonable cost of service, based on how customers use the sewer system. Our prior rate studies had assumed a much higher flow per home, and so we actually presented the flow based on new data from Veolia Water at the wastewater treatment plant. And the same comment applies on sewer regarding the comment about the percent rate increase. Not every single customer gets exactly the same percent rate increase shown in the prior chart. There's a little bit of, you know, cost allocation and adjustments for flow that I just mentioned. So looking ahead to chart 14, this is a typical bill survey. Discovery Bay's sewer rates have always and historically been on the high end of other agencies in your area, and that would not change with the four options. You can kind of remain in the high end of the chart. Okay, looking ahead to chart 15. Chart 15 combines the typical water bill plus the typical sewer bill. So what's happening is we have a low water bill, high sewer bill, put them together and we get kind of a in the middle bill. So you're kind of mid-range of all the different agencies. And then option one, the no financing option, does result in a higher bill. So that moves you toward the higher end of the chart. But the other options kind of keep you in the middle of the chart there. So to quickly wrap up, I've presented option scenarios, reviewed the information a few times now to the Finance Committee in February, and we spoke with the Finance Committee earlier today as well. Last time was an informational session, and this meeting I'm asking to receive direction about what your preferred alternative is for both water and sewer, and I will use that to finalize the rate study report, and that will come before the board on April 15th. Then on April 17th, we will mail Proposition 218 notices to customers, so that's including property owners as well as tenants. And the notice will explain the need for the rate increase as well as the procedures for protesting the rate change, as well as the process for attending the public hearing, which we are scheduling for June 3rd. And then absent a majority protest, the rates can go into effect July 1st. And the rates shown in the notice represent a legal maximum. The rates cannot go above the rates shown in the notice. However, the board has the authority and opportunity to potentially adopt a lower rate change if say costs are lower than expected, if you get a really great interest rate, even lower than what we estimated here, you can always adopt a lower rate. So that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer questions, and we are looking for direction on which water and sewer option to proceed with. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Back to the board for any clarifying questions. If any of the board members have any questions, I've looked, and all board members are good with the information they have. So at this point, I'm going to open it up to public comment. Is there any public comment?
Again, for any public comments, please press star one. We do have the line of Mr. Frank Byzantine. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Now is not the time to raise water and wastewater rates. Now is the time to lower water and wastewater rates and eliminate the $8.01 monthly water bill fee. The coronavirus is impacting family finances. The elderly on fixed income, those losing jobs and benefits, and those with pre-existing conditions need their money. Thank you.
Okay, we'll note that. Is there any other public comment? Mr. Moderator, do you have any other public comment? Okay, seeing no comment at this particular point, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the board for a discussion. Who wants to start?
I will start. We had several finance committee meetings.
Director Lee.
We've had several finance committee meetings to go over the work that you've just seen that was presented. And just to sort of put this in a more global scheme, we've got about $33 million in projects that need to be completed, have been identified over the next 5 years. We've got about $8 million in the bank to do that. So that leaves us with a shortfall in order to keep our water and sewer system working as our customers expect. If we move ahead with some financing, we can spread those costs over 30 years, which is basically the useful life of the asset that we would be building. And at the committee meeting, we've gone through the three options for water, we've gone through four options for financing on wastewater, and the consensus at the finance committee was to proceed with option three for water and option four for wastewater. This would result in the lowest impact on rates for all of our customers compared to the other options that are out there. And so I think the committee recommendation is to proceed with option three for water and option four for wastewater.
And as the other half of the committee, I do concur with what Director Lee had and agree with what Director Lee just presented.
Director Cato,
yes. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If I don't get fired over interrupting you over and over, I appreciate your tolerance. But Mr. Helfrich reached out to me on the computer, and Mr. Helfrich did have a comment. He was pushing *1, so if the moderator could make sure Mr. Helfrich can make his comment, greatly appreciate it. Thank you, and I apologize again for the interruption.
No problem.
I'm sorry, but I'm not seeing Mr. Helfrich's line up here on my end. If you can try it again later on, okay?
No, he needs to come in.
Mr. Helfrich, can you push *1? Why don't you go ahead and try to make your comment, and I'll turn off my computer and see if they can hear you. We'll go from there, but the moderator, for some reason, is not able to see your line.
He does all the time. Jesus.
Are you able to hear, board member, do you hear again?
You're going in and out, Mr. Helfer.
Is it possible for him to do as Allison did, call back in?
That's what I was going to suggest. Mr. Helfer, can you call back in, and we'll hold a moment and see if you can get back in so we can get your comment. Excellent. Moderator, he is calling back in right now, so if the moderator could please watch for it. He's definitely on the line. I can hear him through the phone. I can hear him pushing the buttons. I can hear the meeting in the background. And so I know he's hearing the meeting. He just can't make a comment. So appreciate everyone's patience.
Just while we're waiting,
yes.
I received a text from Leah. And she said that Donnie was on the line and tried to call in but was not able to get on. So our CHP was online trying to give us a report, but technology didn't cooperate.
Thank you for the update.
Excuse me, let me step away because the line, I see the line here that is between the spirit of the baby.
About that heart specialist that was killed by the Pascal, oh, yeah. The motorcycle.
I can hear him on the computer signing in now.
You ever thought about being a play-by-play guy?
I have, in the last 2 weeks, picked up more jobs than I can even possibly imagine. I didn't think I'd not teach this in law school.
Excuse me, presenters. The line of Mr. Bill Dalfrid has joined. Sir, can you please try to press star one again?
He's indicating on the computer he has pressed star one.
All right, we'll begin the flag now one more.
Star one.
There we are, Jeff.
Mr. Dalfrid, go ahead, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, we can. Go ahead, you have 3 minutes.
I will try to fill it up fully. Regarding the regarding the water rate study, at the Finance Committee meeting this afternoon, your consultant stated that the water rate study was amended because of very recent additions to the capital improvement budget. The increase was approximately $2 million. Of that $2 million, $1,268,100 is the funds being budgeted to, and I quote, move district main office building. For option three, the $8 million borrowing with the new items added to the capital improvement budget rate increases the rate would go to 1.75% from 1%. So there is a 0.75% rate increase. No reason was given for the last-minute inclusion of this item in the capital improvement budget. Regarding the wastewater rate study, the consultant stated that the rate study was amended because of very recent additions to the capital improvement budget. The increase is approximately $2.6 million. Of that $2.6 million, $1,902,200 is funding budgeted to move the main office building. She explained to you just now that there is no rate increase because with the larger borrowing, you're getting a better interest rate. So again, there is no increase, but there is an increase in borrowing. And there has been no reason given for the last minute inclusion of this item in the capital improvement budget. Even considering Proposition 218, you have carte blanche authority to raise the rate anytime you want. For a rate increase to be turned down, the ratepayer's tax protest must be in writing and be received by the end of the public hearing. It takes more than 50% of the property owner's negative protest, which is a written protest, to stop the rate increase from being implemented. Getting written responses from more than 50% of the property owner's objecting to the rate increase before June 3rd has no practical possibility of happening. The cost of the new office building being added at the last minute strikes me much like the $25 million added to the bailout fund for the Kennedy Center stimulus. The addition of an office building owned by the Community Service District is just another layer of bureaucracy being heaped on the ratepayers you are supposed to be working for. Nothing has really changed that justifies spending $3,170,300 for a new office building financed through borrowing. I think the rate increase should be based on excluding the $3,170,300 from the capital improvement budget. Thank you.
You just hit the red light, so your timing was perfect. With that, I'm going to close the public comment and bring it back to the board. We've had two board members give us their presentation from the Finance Committee. Director Gouteau, do you have any comments?
I would just add that after reviewing the presentations from 2 weeks ago and tonight, I agree with Director Lee that option three and option four seem to be the most logical choices.
Director Graves.
I appreciate the presentation, and it's given me pause to think. Initially, I was not, I was thinking 3 and 3, but as we look at extending those rates and getting a better rate and keeping the rates down, I have faith in the Finance Committee that they have done their homework, and we'll definitely take their recommendation.
I, too, along the same line, I wanted to have the lowest impact on our ratepayers as possible, and I do believe that we've analyzed the numbers in a variety of ways, and I, too, would concur that number 3 and number 4 options will help keep our ratepayers without having a large increase. We look at response is just phenomenal. We just couldn't do that to a ratepayer. So, anyway, is there any further discussion? I don't see any. Do I hear a motion?
I would like to make a motion to authorize and direct staff to proceed with the water rate, wastewater rate study conclusions, directing our the presentation and the development of the Prop 218 materials, moving forward with option 3 for water and option 4 for wastewater.
Second.
Director Graves has seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
There's 5 ayes, so it's unanimous. We'll move on now to action item B2.
Thank you, Board.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, are you on the line, Mike?
Yes, you can hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead and make your presentation. This is Mike DeRocca, our projects manager.
Great, thanks very much. So at the February 5th meeting, we made a presentation and discussed with the board about district property where the Newport water treatment facility and well are located, about 1 acre, and wastewater plant number 2, about 70.7 acres, not within our district boundary, and therefore the district is paying about $11,000 a year of property taxes. So we looked at the opportunity of piggybacking on the Pantages annexation to include these parcels with that annexation application. And so the board authorized us to proceed on that. So the first thing we need to do is satisfy the needs under CEQA for this project. So working with our legal counsel, we have determined that this would be exempt under CEQA. So a notice of exemption has been prepared and is included in your board packet, along with the resolution approving this document. There are two sections under CEQA. The first one is what generally referred to as the common sense rule, by which if it can be seen that project may have or does not have any significant effect on the environment, that it would be exempt from CEQA. And the second being that there is a categorical exemption which says that if there are existing facilities on the property, public facilities like ours, being in it, that also is exempt from CEQA. So we have cited both of those statutes in the notice of exemption. And so, assuming the board would adopt this notice of exemption and the resolution, we would then file it with the county clerk recorder, which would start the 35-day waiting period for any legal challenge. And then, once the Pantages project finishes their CEQA document, which they have told me they occur around the August timeframe, we would then prepare the actual application to LAFCO, and we would bring that back to the board of directors here at the district as the actual application or resolution of application for the annexation, and we would attach all the documents, including the CEQA document, and submit that to LAFCO for their consideration and approval. So with that, we recommend that you adopt the resolution that's before you and the notice of exemption.
Okay, do any of the board members have any clarifying questions?
Yeah, I do.
Director Graves.
So I'm a little confused, Mike. I'm looking at the map that you gave us with the urban limit line in it. Is that not what we're talking about here? Are we talking about a different line that doesn't show up on that map?
So on the map you have, you'll see the brown area. That brown area is the district boundary, our territory that LAFCO has approved as our service area, which is different than the urban limit line.
Okay, so then that leaves.
You see where I pointed it.
Go ahead.
Right, so the very small blue square that's got the Newport well pointing to it, that is outside the brown area, which means it's outside our boundary.
That's what, thank you for clearing that up. That's kind of what I thought, but I wanted to make sure I had it square in my mind before I asked the next question. And that is, I know this map's probably not hugely detailed, but it appears from the way I see the brown that well 7 may not be included in our property also, or does that fall within our district boundary?
Well 7, hang on one second. I actually was looking at another document that did show well 7. Let me
if this is accurate, it doesn't. It's on this side of that street.
Unless Mike, you know the answer to that question.
This map is not clear enough for us to determine exactly if well 7 falls within it or just outside it.
Well, I would.
If it doesn't, we just add it to this.
Well, I would say, yeah, that's my only point is let's clear this all up at once. If in fact that new addition to well 7, because the way the map shows it, it's on the other side of the street from where it would not be in there according to this map, but this map may not be detailed enough. So can we just make sure that...
Okay, so, yep, no, it appears to be in because if you'll see, I'm looking at the map I was looking for now, and let's see, well 7, Newport Drive, runs north south. But yes, we will double check to make sure, but I'm seeing, for example, where it shows Lighthouse Place, and then below that, Beacon Place. So that, you'll see the brown line, or the edge of the brown line runs down the road there, down Newport Drive.
Yes.
And then as it bends, as Newport Drive makes a slight bend to the southeast, that is where well 7 is located.
Oh, my bad. I was one block off. We don't have the street names on our map, so I was one block off, apparently.
Okay.
Am I one block off?
I think we're good, but we'll definitely double check.
I couldn't hear you. It is in.
I think I was one block off. We didn't have the street names on here, so I had the streets wrong. Thank you, Mike. I just wanted to make sure we were covering all our bases.
You bet. That's a very good question.
Okay, is there any other...
Brian is here.
From the
not here.
Yep, exactly.
Seeing none, I will open it up for public comment. Is any of the public on the teleconference?
Because I don't know the streets well, you know better than I do. So the stop sign.
There are no public comments.
The stop sign right here, not back here.
Thank you. We'll close public comments and bring this item back to the board for discussion and or a motion. Or any further discussion? Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept as presented.
Second.
So we're recommending the staff action. All those in favor?
Aye.
There's 5 ayes. Unanimous. With that, we'll go to...
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
We'll go
thank
to
you. I'll go ahead and sign off unless you need me for anything else.
I think you're good. So with that,
thank you. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
You too, Mike. With that, we're going to go to the director's reports. Finance committee.
Finance committee met this afternoon, and we dealt with the rate issue, which we discussed thoroughly today.
Okay. internal operations.
Internal operations. Also met this afternoon, and we discussed the bids that staff is getting on facility security, and also the impact of the COVID-19 on district operations.
Okay, thank you for that report. Water Wastewater Committee.
Okay, we met this afternoon as well. Very short meeting, in fact, the shortest meeting that I've been to so far. At our water, Rick Water update, very brief. And then Mike directly came in and gave his presentation we just heard.
We also, part of that update, our district engineer gave us an update on the diffuser replacement, and there's the fish and game department is asking some crazy conditions in reference to replacing our diffuser, so that's going to be delayed a little bit until they answer those questions.
If I could, I'd just add one other thing that I found surprising, and it's nice to know, and correct me if I got this wrong, but this annexation process could take until mid next year, second quarter next year. It's a long process, so if you hear it now, it's still a year or better away from completion.
And one other thing that was pointed out to us, and it kind of came up under some different subjects earlier today, but it came up in our internal operations committee, and that is that some of these things that we're doing, the public may not be aware, we're mandated to do by the state. There are some laws that are coming into effect within the next 2 to 3 years, which mandate that we update our security. We discussed that in the internal operations committee. But on that same note, it also mandates that we have higher security at our water treatment plants, which is where the offices happen to be currently located. So some of these things we're doing aren't necessarily by choice, but because we're forced to by this. In that case, that's a federal regulation, I believe, that we have to abide by. Is that correct, Mike?
It's the AWIA, they call it, America Infrastructure Water Act.
Exactly. So I just wanted to make the public aware of the fact that we don't always work arbitrarily, that we work under guidance of larger and greater bureaucracies than ourselves.
Thank you for that. With that, we'll go to general manager's report.
No report.
Okay, at this particular time, I wanted to make a comment. Due to the COVID-19, the state has changed some of their ground ice laws, and I was asked by the legal counsel to kind of survey our board and see what your feelings are about meeting by teleconference in lieu of meeting personally. I think we're going to have one meeting for sure before the stay at home is taken away, or it could be more. So do we have a preference or a thought on
teleconferences are always a little difficult for you especially to moderate and to lead and then to get comments made, but I understand sometimes it can't be avoided. Can we do something like a Zoom or a WebEx or something where at least the board was on a video conference together so we could see each other, or is that even more complicated?
We have to make an investment in some equipment.
I mean, you can do it with your laptops. I've been doing it for 2 weeks now with the state.
Yeah, we'd have to get everybody a laptop. There's things we can do if you want video.
Well, I don't want to do that. I just thought if we all had laptops, maybe we could do that. But I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe staff can look into it and see if it's reasonable. I think we need to do what we need to do. I don't have any problem coming down here since we are practicing social distancing in our meetings. But I'll go along with the crowd.
I would go along with Director Graves. There's a lot of paperwork that's spread out, and actually this distancing helps me spread it out even further. Is there a reason that you were asking that question?
Yeah, because our legal team has been advising some of their clients, but similar to us, to go on teleconferencing. I have my own personal feelings too. I'll explain in a second, but
given the circumstance that we're in, what we're doing now, as inefficient as it is probably the best we can do. And if we were all on that teleconference, I think we might not finish till tomorrow. It's difficult. So, you know, I think we're doing some pretty good work given our constraints, and you know, people have to teleconference in if they're not feeling well, or they've got other, you know, constraints, that's fine. But if we can meet, when I can look somebody in the eye, it's a lot better.
Yeah, we're following the under 10 recommendations, and we are definitely essential. We have to get water in and wastewater out of these homes.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think we only have two meetings a month. Our social distancing that the staff has put together, I think, is very efficient. There's no other public in the building. None of us are going on a trip that I can foresee in the future. So we're in our own little bird down here. So it appears to me that I'm looking around the board and there's five yeses to just continue what we're doing at this procedure, even though it's cumbersome, but trying to do this remotely would be a fiasco. So is legal clear on our decision?
I hear the decision, and you ultimately, local jurisdictions under the CDC guidelines, have the ultimate decision to make. And so I hear that you're making it. I would like the opportunity to work with staff and see if there is a possibility. We are doing, five of these a week. If not more, and we're doing them by Zoom, we're doing them by GoToMeeting, we're doing them by lots of different ways, and we're having similar complications that we had tonight. I do think the advisory meeting went well today. It seemed like it was clear and easy to get through just by teleconference, but I agree with you that seeing people face-to-face is extremely important. What I'd like is the opportunity to work with staff and see if we can come up with a solution that we're still maintaining the concern that although the service that you provide is absolutely essential, and we're not stopping any of that, and we're agreeing with you 100%, is it essential to meet in one location is the thing we're struggling with. And so if I can have a little bit of leniency to work with staff, see if we can figure it out in the next 2 weeks to make it easy where everybody's face to face, if everybody has a computer with a camera on it, might be easier, might be more difficult, but if I can have a little leeway to work with staff, try to figure it out. I hear the board's interest in maintaining that connection and the social distancing they are maintaining, as well as closing the building to public officials. We're just trying to take the conservative approach.
Now, we hear what you said, but I think we've got five votes to continue the meeting next time as planned.
Hopefully only one more.
Excellent. Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully only one more. That's what I'd like to think.
Okay. Well,
yeah, ultimately it's your decision, and it is only encouraged and recommended. It is not a shall.
And we heard that, and we made our decision.
Thank you.
Okay.
Future challenges before you hit the album.
Do we have any future?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do. I have been retired since 2010, so that's 10 years. I worked at a company prior to retiring called Polycom, which did conferencing, video, and voice. Voice was their mainstay. I ran global services, and there would be people fired for the actions that have taken place here with the teleconferencing. So my recommendation by next meeting is to find a place, either work with the current to fix these bugs. We have to allow our residents in, and they've got to be able to have it easy to get in. They shouldn't have to call back in. They shouldn't be dropped. The presenters shouldn't be struggling to get in and can't get in. The technology, I know, Rod, you had said, this is not new technology. Let's get it fixed. And there's places that can do it if this one can't. We've been with them. I like there's a lot that they have that's good, but they have to make sure our residents can get in. Now I'm done.
Okay. Any other future
items? I agree completely, and I can tell you I'm absolutely exhausted after tonight's call because it was, I've got my computer running in the background, I've got members of the public speaking at the same time, so I completely agree with you, and I can tell you we've had easier calls and we've had more difficult calls, so it's the nature, but I agree with you. Technology exists, we've sent people to the moon, we have to be able to figure out how to get everybody be in the same room at the same time to see each other.
Okay, well, with that, meeting adjourned.